Back on Downtown, 4:30 on a Wednesday afternoon, and time for this week's Sports Lit 101. Rich Kimble, Bruce Pratt here with you. And joining us on the telephone, the author of a wonderful new book entitled Team of Destiny, Walter Johnson, Clark Griffith, Bucky Harris, and the 1924 Washington Senators. Gary Sarnoff with us. Gary, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me today.
Well, we both enjoyed the book so much. And what inspired you to write about this team from 100 years ago?
Well, I always had this story in the back of my mind. I've known this story since I was in high school, and I always thought it was such a wonderful story about an underdog, about a team that was managed by their 27-year-old second baseman, and most of all, Walter Johnson. What a great story about Walter Johnson finally getting a chance to pitch in the World Series and winning Game 7 of the 1924 World Series. So I always thought this was just such a great story, and I always wanted to tell this story.
And an unlikely champion. For years, the tagline had been, Washington, first in war, first in peace, last in the American League.
Yeah, they were pretty bad. They had a few winning seasons thanks to Walter Johnson, but mostly losing seasons and many seasons near the bottom of the league or in last place.
One of the things that, Gary, that really struck me about this book is that, you know, people in Dallas like to call the Dallas Cowboys America's team, which I've always thought was a lot of bunk. But by the end of the season in 1924, it seems that the Senators had become America's team. I mean, in the way ballparks, they were getting cheered on.
Yeah, they were. People were tired of seeing the Yankees and the Giants in the World Series. Both of those teams had won their respective league championships from 1921 to 1923. They played in the World Series for three consecutive years. So in 1924, the people were ready for a change. And it's like a New York Times writer, he called the Washington Senators the people's team. So, yes, definitely, they were definitely America's team.
We talked about this last week, too. It was certainly a different time in Major League Baseball and in this country. And Bruce and I were both astonished by the level of respect that other players on opposing teams had for the Senators that year and how complimentary they were of their efforts, of the job that Bucky Harris was doing.
Yeah, they were. They were really surprised and amazed by how well Bucky Harris handled himself as a team manager at age 27. And, of course, Walter Johnson, everybody throughout baseball loved Walter Johnson because not only was he great, but he was such a nice guy. So Walter Johnson also had tremendous respect from opposing players.
And at the same time, Bucky Harris is a playing manager. Ty Cobb is a playing manager. Tris Speaker is a playing manager. Ruth is in New York. Is there ever a time when there's – were that many superstars that were involved in a pennant race?
Yeah, I'm sure if you take a look at history, there have been superstars throughout the years. So, yes, for sure. But these guys were, you know, they were immortals. These guys were just, you know, they're just so great in baseball history. It was just amazing to have these guys on the field in the same time, same era.
It was interesting, too, to note when we talk about it being a different time, how many of them worked other jobs in the offseason. I think you mentioned Harry Heilman in the book, who was working a different job in Detroit when baseball season wasn't rolling around. And we talked last week about Walter Johnson's training methods, what got him ready to have this last great season.
Yeah, things were definitely different back then. You had to work two jobs. And, you know, I remember growing up as a kid, when Major League Baseball players were not making the money they were making today, they were working two jobs. And unless you made as much money as Babe Ruth did, you know, you had to work two jobs. Or, you know, if you had Babe Ruth's kind of salary, you could train in the off season, full-time train in the off season, and just, you know, work in baseball. But, yeah, it was definitely a different time. And, yeah, Walter Johnson was always – dedicated. He was always a hard worker, and you know, he kept himself in good shape throughout his career. He said that was one of the reasons why his career lasted as long as it did. And you know, he really wanted to restore his health. And in 1923, in addition to having a sore arm, he also, his legs were weak. He thought his legs were weak in 1923, so he did those exercises to make sure that his legs were at full strength for the 1924 season.
One of the astonishing things about that World Series is the way that there was a syndicate of people covering it, and they were the players like Ruth and Cobb, a very different kind of player input, a different kind of color commentating than we have today. You know, where we don't let the players just sort of do that themselves. They have to be partnered with somebody else. Did that really come about because radio was coming into play then?
Yeah, I think so. And also I think because the fans wanted to hear from the players and hear from their perspective and what the superstars like Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb, what their perspective was on the World Series. So, yeah, I think so, for sure.
Yeah, talk a little bit about Clark Griffith. He was certainly an interesting owner, far different than what we see today in terms of ownership of major sports franchises.
Yeah, that's for sure. Clark Griffith was a star pitcher in the 1890s. And he didn't have blazing speed. He did it by being smart. He was crafty, and he had a lot of trick pitches, which was illegal back in those days. And that's why he got the name the Old Fox, because he was so crafty. He was such a crafty pitcher. He won by outsmarting the opposition. So he had a successful playing career. Then he became a manager, and he was a good manager. You know, he managed different teams before he came to Washington in 1912. Now, Washington back then, they had never had a winning season since coming into the American League in 1901. And in order to get Griffith, they knew Griffith could be their man to change things around. But in order to lure him to Washington, they gave him an incentive to buy 10% of the team, which he did. So he had 10% ownership. He managed the Senators. His results were instant. His first year as manager, the Senators had a winning season. They won 90 games, and they finished in second place, mostly due to Walter Johnson because he was entering his prime, but also because of Griffith. You know, Griffith was a winner. He was a winner as a pitcher, and now he's a winner as a manager. So he had a few more winning seasons with Walter Johnson. Then they tailed off. They had a couple losing seasons, and by the end of the decade, Griffith realized the only way he was ever going to have a winner in Washington was to be in complete control. So what he did, he secured a loan from the First Metropolitan Bank of Washington. He got a $100,000 loan. He found a business partner because there was no way back then athletes could afford franchises, professional sports teams franchises like they could today. So he found a co-owner, someone who could partner with him, who was also willing to let Griffith be in complete command. Griffith was 100% in charge, and that was okay with the co-owner, William Richardson, that went into business with Griffith. So they purchased the team in December of 1919. Griffith managed for one more year, 1920. Then he stepped down as manager. He was co-owner and also team president. So he stepped down as manager, gave the job to somebody else. He went through a manager year. He had a different manager in 1921, 1922, and 1923. He fired his manager after the 1923 season, and he hired Bucky Harris to manage the team in 1924. And as you know what happened. It was the World Championship. He finally lived his dream. He finally got what he had hoped for in Washington.
We're talking with Gary Sarnoff about his book, A Team of Destiny. Boy, when you hear guys complain, well, I don't want to play a day game after a night game. This travel is rough. We were noting last week that both the Senators and the Yankees that year played their last 20 games of the season on the road.
That's the way they used to do it back then. You know, when you travel, you know, four teams were in the East and four teams in the Midwest in each division. So when you traveled by train back then, not by plane. So when you made a long road trip, when you headed from East to Midwest or Midwest to the East, it was a plus 20-hour road trip on the train, a train trip. So back then, so yeah, you'd play when you went out to the Midwest or went to the East. You played all four teams in that region, you know, during that trip.
And we also noted that the Senators played 12 doubleheaders in a month. I mean, there aren't 12 doubleheaders in the major leagues anymore, are there? Any year?
Back in 1924, that year, there were a lot of rainouts that year. So they were forced to play a lot of doubleheaders, and that had to be tough on the Senators because that year they did not have a lot of depth. So it was very much the same pitchers day in and day out for the Senators. But, you know, they had great pitchers. They had Walter Johnson, and they had a couple other good ones, so they got through okay.
And you mentioned that in the book that Bucky Harris was known for managing pitchers very well.
Well, he knew how to handle players in general. He handled the pitchers, but he also handled players very well. He was younger than most of his players, but he was very well respected. He was hard-nosed. He was fiery. And something he did that his predecessors didn't do was he talked about winning. He talked about championship. He had a lot of confidence in the team. He just knew they were going to be good. You know, somehow, some way, he knew his players, and he just knew they were going to be good that year.
How much, Gary, of the nation's embrace of this team was also connected to the fact that we were just 5 years removed from the Black Sox scandal?
Yeah. By 1924, things were in pretty good shape for baseball. The scandal had all been but forgotten. You know, it resurfaced. Something would happen every now and then. But, you know, because of Judge Landis, you know, he had a lot of integrity. He was hired as the commissioner after the Black Sox scandal. And Babe Ruth's ability to hit home runs, you know, we were going from the dead ball era to the live ball era, and here came Babe Ruth. So that brought the fans back as well.
The book is called Team of Destiny, Walter Johnson, Clark Griffith, Bucky Harris, and the 1924 Washington Senators. It's a wonderful read. It'll take you back not only baseball history, but a look at America 100 years ago. Gary Sarnoff enjoyed it so much. Thanks for visiting with us today.
Yes, thank you very much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Team of Destiny, Sports Lit 101.